then and only then at that point was he able to go ahead and start, you know, letting out things for bid. And the obligated, as Representative Butler accurately stated, $5 million already. They had a document they given to us to reaffirm just the other day that all an additional $10 million has been obligated. So we've got no more money. If we don't approve anything beyond this, we have a very limited amount of dollars for the reconstruction, maintenance, and acquisition that I think the voters want parks, and I just can't understand if they have a way of getting it to them, why we're not doing it.
Any further comments on the motion? I'd like to make some comments. I think that clearly the major was silent, and that if the major had not been silent on the issue, and if the major had made it clear that these dollars were not new dollars, a lot of times the voters don't understand these things. When Measure 44 was passed, the tobacco tax increase, it was clear that there were new dollars. And I think a lot of people may have thought that this was going to be new dollars, when in fact this was just a redirection of existing dollars. And I've had a number of, as many of you probably have, I've had a number of town halls in my district with regards to education funding. And I have asked the people at these town halls, did you vote for Measure 66? And many of them raised their hands. And then I asked them, did you know that measure could have potentially taken money away from K-12? And they all are in shock and in horror that they could have taken money away from K-12. And I have made it very clear that the legislature will remove from the parks budget general fund money that we had given them previously and put in the Measure 66 money. So the parks will, in fact, get the full amount given to it under Measure 66. It will give them a source of funds, ongoing source of funds, biennium after biennium. But my people in my district are very satisfied with that, Senator Yee. They are very concerned that we would potentially take somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 or $15 million away from the school. My people in my district do not want that to happen. This is a very prudent course that we are operating under. This is what the governor has recommended, and the $13.8 million that we see set aside in for them to come back and present plans to e-board. The Parks Department will in fact receive all of that money during this next biennium because they must, under the Constitution, constitutional provisions set up under Measure 66. The legislature will not hold that money back. The e-board will give them that money, but it is reasonable for us to ask the Parks Department to bring us their plans. I think many of us have concerns about the park management, and those were expressed last session. I served on the subcommittee on parks last session when we went through all these issues. And frankly, you know, I have not seen a demonstration that the parks management has gotten any better. And I think it's reasonable for us to ask them to report. So they will have a substantial, I didn't calculate the percentage, but if you put that $13.8 million back in, because they will receive those funds over this biennium, they're going to have a well over 20% increase. And given the increase that we gave them last biennium, this is a good parks budget. It's essentially the governor's recommendation, with the exception that we're saying they must bring plans to e-board. So I would recommend a no vote on the motion. And so we will bring the Senator Yee's motion to move the parks budget back to subcommittee. And I guess I will have the clerk call the roll.
Madam Chair, can I close?
Certainly. Go right ahead.
Yes. Well, it's clearly voters' intent because from public testimony after public testimony, they wanted enhancement and not replacement of lobbyists, replacement of general funds with new lobbying dollars. They want improvement. And Park has $110 million backlog. And if we put in $15 million for biennium, or 8 biennium, for 16 years, after 16 years, all the buildings will be falling apart. We have to replace them with new buildings instead of repair. There's a real need out there. And besides, taking care of parks not only improves enjoyment of the citizens, it also improves tourism and economic development. So for all these reasons, we should put back the general fund money that was paid out of this budget.
Okay. right. Would the clerk please call the roll? And the motion again is to send the Parks and Rec budget, Senate Bill 5530, back to the subcommittee.
Senator,
speak up.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
So.
Aye.
Brian.
No.
Rayoli.
No.
Fisher.
No.
Esther.
Aye.
Kim.
No.
Representative Bob.
Aye.
Westland.
No.
Desiree.
No.
Leonard.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Butler.
No.
Hennis.
No.
Patrick.
No.
I'm here.
No. Okay, the motion has failed, and now if there's no further question.
I just wanted to straighten out the percentages and confirm what I believe to be the situation. And if we're looking at the front of the budget document, it says about $13 million difference from the governor's recommended, and we had 12.9 that's being held back. Is that essentially the $12 million that's being held back?
Combination, I believe, of the two, that we're increasing the amount by the 12.9, which is now let's see. I think we're increasing the 12.9. I didn't get a chance to study this after it was handed to me this morning when Senator Hannon was going to.
Why don't we have staff answer this question?
Yeah, that would be.
I'm really looking for how much we're holding back, and then if we put everything together, what is the percentage increase over current service levels? That's what I'm kind of looking for.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the amount that we're holding back is $12.9 million. The difference between what's on the budget report and the $12.9 that's being held in the Parks Department fund was because there was an adjustment in the revenue estimate for lottery funds from the governor's recommended budget. I can only tell you what the calculation is off the top of the current service level from the current budget, because I didn't calculate the total amount.
Okay.
But it's a 12.5% increase over current service level that we are giving them expenditure authority for, and then there's an additional 12.9 that the emergency board can increase the expenditure authority for when the plans are presented.
And just to follow up, and the totals of these amounts, what's being held back and what is being allocated at this time, is roughly the same as the governor's recommended budget.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Senator Fisher.
You know, the mill, hydroelectric mill that used to be the flour mill that is asking to be purchased by the Parks Department, does this have any recommendation in it or any monies in it for that purpose?
No. No, it does not, Senator Fisher. The that purchase is, I think, over $3 million, and there is not at this time general funds or lottery funds to make that purchase. And Senator Crayon.
Madam Chairman, for the question, the purchase of Thompson's Mill, which is being advocated, has no date specific. It wouldn't necessarily be affected by this budget. It could be an issue to be taken up at a future time before the legislative emergency board or in the next planning.
Senator Crayoli, you have moved that bill out of your subcommittee.
Yes.
And have moved it
to the floor with the details.
To the floor.
To the floor or to the Ways and Means?
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. It had a mandatory referral to Ways and Means. It was your baby.
Thank you. Are there any further questions on this? Senator Metzger.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I appreciate the work of the subcommittee on this bill. These are difficult decisions, and I think it's clear that we have a lot of difficult decisions to make in terms, especially with education, and there's nobody in this building who is working more in his mind trying to find dollars for education than I, and many here share that. However, whether this is the right decision or not the right decision based on this ballot measure, I think it is important to look at what the people in my district, and I think in all of our districts, what their intent was. We can argue the language and whether there was any clear direction and perhaps come to the conclusion that there was not. But in lieu of that, I always go then to the tummy test. And to me, this doesn't pass the tummy test for what I feel people were, and so I will be a no vote on it.
Thank you, Senator. Any other comments? Okay. Let's see. How many objections do I have? Eight objections to this. Senator Yee, Senator Charles, Senator Metzger, Representative Leonard, Representative Schrader. Why don't we call the roll?
No.
No.
Aye.
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 No.
Aye.
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 Aye. No.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Senate Bill 5530, having received the required majority, is passed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vote explanation, Madam Chairman.
Senator Young.
This is one of those issues that I think has caused a lot of distress with people. I think there are a couple ways you can look at this issue that I haven't heard discussed here. One of them is that people may have been voting to allow parks to come under the umbrella of lottery dollars as much as they were voting any other issue. And you did make that clear that 70% of the voters thought that was a good idea, and it's now in the Constitution. I think voters got what they wanted. I have lamented to the proponents that they weren't more specific in their language. But in any case, sometimes leadership has to make very difficult and hard decisions, and that's what they're intended to do here. I think the party line vote on this measure shows that there was a leadership question. There was also a question of whether or not the interpretation, which can be looked at from three or four different perspectives, is accurate. But I think in this case, the no voters may be acting as the loyal opposition, just to bring the point forward that there is a question about this. And I think if our positions were reversed, we might see a different vote on the issue. But I think this bill needs to move forward. It shows that leadership sometimes has to make very difficult choices, and these are some of the difficult choices they send us here to make.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you. Any other vote explanation? Okay. We will close the work session in 5530 and open up on Senate Bill 5536, Senator Trope.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Senate Bill 5536 is the budget for the Secretary of State's office. The Secretary is the auditor of public accounts, chief elections officer, and manager of the state's records. The Secretary is responsible also for the business registration and filing of UCC financing statements in the state. The recommended 1999-01 budget is $32.8 million, which includes $163,000 non-limited other funds and $1 federal funds in anticipation of some federal funding for archives. The budget contains other funds limitations of $22,424,713, which is 1.7% less than the 1997-99 legislative approved budget. And the general fund of $10,367,669, which is 2% over the 1997-99 legislative approved budget, but it's certainly a reduction from what the governor recommends. $152,048 of the general fund appropriation is to the emergency board pending review and approval of reclassification of archivist positions. The budget provides two limited duration FTE positions to standardize business identification numbers with those of the Departments of Revenue, Employment, and Consumer and Business Services. It also converts two contracted mailroom positions to permanent FTE and makes a technical correction for one position in the corporation's division. Now, one of the reasons it was possible to cut out of this budget quite a bit of money is the next paragraph. So listen carefully, because we may have to
find money later for these things. We may not. We may have to. The budget does not include funds for a separate presidential primary election or a two-volume voter's pamphlet. Legislation has been introduced that impacts or change both, and the Secretary of State can apply to the emergency board if funding is needed for these items. So we'll see what happens with the legislation, and if the legislation doesn't pass, then there may be additional expenses that will come to the EBA later. The budget provides 5.25% general fund savings from the governor's recommended budget. This comes from budget reductions, including savings in the audit division and reduced assessments to other state agencies estimated to reduce general fund needs by $106,000, and reductions in the corporation division that added an additional $222,000 to the general fund during the biennium. The budget also transfers $152,000 from the archives miscellaneous receipts account to the general fund. Your subcommittee recommends approval of this bill, and the Secretary of State's office is comfortable with the budget as it now reads, and I would remind you that there are some things that you still may have to deal with.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions for Senator Tripp? Well, I think the subcommittee did an excellent job on this budget. Are there any objections to the passage of Senate Bill 5536? Hearing none, Senate Bill 5536 is passed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Chair, I just say that it was a delight in working with the Secretary of State, and he was very cooperative with staff, and I do appreciate the excellent job that Dallas Ryan did and being able to identify some of the issues and work through the issues of the audits, and I appreciate the assistance of Senator Trill and other members of the committee that helped prepare the issues out. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now on House Bill 2020. Senator Friel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 2020 changes the construction contractor registration requirements to the license industry. The House Committee on Business and Consumer Affairs referred the measure to Ways and Means because it had a fiscal impact of $162,772 and had a 0.75 FTE impact, which was incorporated in the budget bill for the Construction Contractors Board. The current law requires 16 hours of classroom education for a person to register as a construction contractor. This bill retains that education requirement, but also adds the requirements for the applicant to pass an examination to obtain the license. Contractors registered before July 1st, 2000 are exempt, so there is a grandfathering in of those are currently registered, but they will have to meet their requirements on renewal. The fiscal impact relates to the cost of developing and administering the exam. The Subcommittee on General Government recommends approval of HB 2020-A, the engrossed version to the House of the due pass recommendation.
Okay. Are there any questions on House Bill 2020?
Chair.
Senator Fisher.
Does this require a testing every single time they renew, or just a one-time thing?
Madam Chairman, if the person's license to lapse for longer than a year, they need to take an examination. Renewal after 2000 and after July 1st, 2000 will require a testing, and I guess I'll have to defer to staff about continuing requirements to pass a licensure examination.
And, you know, with all due respect, Senator Fisher, we must remember this came to us from a policy committee, and that really is a policy question. It was brought to us to look at the fiscal. Robin, if you could.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Madam Chair, members of the committee, it is my understanding that there is not an annual examination requirement.
Any further questions on House Bill 2020?
Madam Chair,
And so, Representative Ross.
And so what is the fiscal impact?
So, Madam Chairman, in response to the question, the fiscal impact was $162,772, and the fiscal impact was incorporated into the budget bill for the Construction Contractors Board.
Thank you.
The impact was dealt with.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay. Are there any objections to the passage of House Bill 2020? Hearing none, House Bill 2020 has been passed through the floor with a due pass recommendation. And we will move on to House Bill 2057. Secretary Olika.
Madam Chairman, House Bill 2057 changes the requirements related to registration as a construction contractor. The House Committee on Business and Consumer Affairs referred the measure to Ways and Means because it had a fiscal impact of $117,384 and one full-time equivalency, which was also incorporated into the budget bill for the Construction Contractors Board. The Construction Contractors Board requested the changes to the existing law to improve consumer protection. The bill would allow the board to revoke a contractor's registration upon conviction of certain crimes, such as murder, theft, or rape, place the contractor on probation if three or more claims are filed in a year, and require the contractor who has been placed on probation to meet the education requirements and pass the examination before reinstatement. The bill would create a Class B misdemeanor for improper use of a registration number and allows the Department of Environmental Quality to also suspend or revoke the DEQ license of a construction contractor whose certificate was revoked by the board. The Subcommittee on General Government recommends approval of the A engrossed version. Moves to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions on House Bill 2057? Okay. Seeing none, are there any objections to the passage of House Bill 2057? Hearing none, House Bill 2057 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And we will move now to House Bill 5027. Senator
Cusack. Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 5027 authorizes six health-related licensing boards to establish or increase fees, and the full committee referred this bill back to the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee for reconsideration and further amendments. There were two amendments. First, it removed the Board of Radiologic Technology from the bill, and second, it added the Board of Psychologist Examiners national examination fee increase, which had been inadvertently left out. The subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 5027 as amended.
Okay. Are there any questions on House Bill 5027? Okay. Hearing none, are there any objections to the passage of House Bill 5027? Boy, we're back in the thousand, guys. Okay. House Bill 5027 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And that brings up House Bill 5026.
Madam Chair, House Bill 5026 is a budget bill for 15 health-related licensing boards. These agencies are supported entirely by other funds generated from fees paid by the licensees. And the full committee referred this bill back to the Transportation and Economic Development Committee, the Subcommittee for Reconsideration and Amendments. The subcommittee amended House Bill 5026 by removing the radiologic technology and recommends approval of the bill as amended.
Thank you. Are there any questions on House Bill 5026?
2726.
Seeing none, are there any objections to the passage of House Bill 5026? Hearing none, House Bill 5026 is passed before with a due pass recommendation. And before we adjourn committee today, a couple things I need to make sure you're all aware of. You will have gotten a notice in your offices that we will be having a full committee at 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning, April 27th. And so everyone be here bright and early at 8 a.m. It is our intent to have a relatively short full committee so that we can get four subcommittees and get our work going in the subs. We will be hearing that morning the higher ed budget and also probably Senate Bill 100, which came to Ways and Means briefly for us to look at the fiscal impact on Department of Ed. The second issue...
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. The second thing was what?
The charter school bill, Senate Bill 100. The second issue I wanted to mention briefly with the full committee, we are having problems getting members, and I know everybody has really tough schedules, but getting members to our subcommittee meetings, and I would ask all of you to try to make every effort to be on time to your subcommittee meetings. I think we've talked before about the importance of being there when there's a work session, but it is also important to be there during the public hearing. It looks, you know, it does not look good for these agencies and the public that's presenting testimony to only have one or two people on the subcommittee present. Mayor Trill.
Yeah, I just would like to say, too, that if you just come for the work session, you really don't know what has transpired, and I sort of really just sort of dislike it when people just show up to vote and never are there for working out the budget.
Thank you for your comment, Senator. That's just really important, right? And I just really try to make every effort. I know we all have difficult schedules, but make every effort. Senator Fisher?
Yes, Madam Chair. Would it be possible to have, if not, put amendments to different bills back in front on a same sheet of paper, making it impossible to keep track of where they're at when you're trying to look over a bill and the amendments. You got delivered to our office the other day. It had the amendments for one bill on the front page, amendments for another bill on the back. And it's just very difficult. So either you've got to recopy and then scope up the proper bill, or you put them with one and then forget which one. Then you're looking at it, try to go back to which one, just the back side of the one you need. It's a little confusing.
And that's a good point, Senator Fisher.
I realize the attempts to save paper.
Right, but when it's separate bills, you know, we need to have separate pieces of paper so we can have them in separate bill files. We'll have staff look into that. Any further comments? Then we are adjourned. And see you Tuesday morning, 8 a.m.